Welcome to another episode of Sac Radio Live. I'm your host, Jason Cuban, and tonight we have a special episode, and this is part of a mini-series that we're going to be running over the next couple of weeks called Conversing with a Cop. Now, what we've done is sat down with an officer here in Virginia under the conditions of anonymity, and we asked a bunch of questions, the kind of questions that you want the answers to. So we started off kind of easy, and we set the tone, and then we gradually moved into a more aggressive line of questioning. Now, this officer, he was a good sport. He sat there, and he answered every single question to the best of his ability, and he gave us some information that we may or may not have been aware of. Not only that, but he has also helped us understand from an officer's point of view what we can do to help bridge the gap between the community and law enforcement, and likewise we discuss from a citizen's point of view what we feel that the officers can do to help bridge that gap. All this and more in this exciting and very exclusive interview that you'll only hear on SAC Radio Live. When we come back, we'll get right into it.
This is Arius Moose Cuban with his cover of Dust in the Wind on the CIMC Music Show.
Thank you.
I close my eyes only for a moment. I'm
Wake up, Daddy Son.
We got a Black Hawk down. We got a Black Hawk down.
I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Everybody's obviously a little bush from all this humping.
Looks like a TKO to me.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'll be here all week. Remember to tip your waitresses.
And that was without even a single drop of rum.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You are listening to SAC Radio Live with Jason Cuban. And we're back if you're just joining us. Tonight we are talking to an officer under the conditions of anonymity. He is an officer here in Virginia, and this is called Conversing with a Cop. This is a pre-recorded program, which means that there will be no calls coming in from the studio line at this time, but you can check us out and participate in the conversation by going to our website chat room. Now, let's go ahead and meet this officer.
All right, sir. Thanks for having me. I'll say I'm a police officer here in the community in Virginia. It's one of our local communities. I don't speak for any department. I speak for myself.
And you've been operating in law enforcement for how long?
Almost 16 years.
What made you decide to become an officer?
It's been a lifetime goal. It's something I've always wanted since I was a little guy. I've always been interested in it, and just decided that I wanted to be a help to the community and just be that officer that, you know, like I would like to see. And I just wanted to be that role model. You know.
Is as rewarding as you thought it would be?
Very much so. It's even more so than what I thought it would be. Coming in, I mean, I knew you You know, if you come in new, it's always about, you know, I want to be able to pull people over and drive, you know, the patrol vehicles fast. And that was a big issue. But that was short-lived. It ended up being more of a community. I like community policing. I like being out, talking to people, helping people. Of course, you do have the, you know, the occasional that you have to be the bad guy. But overall, it's just, it's real, it's so rewarding. And if, as long as you do your job and do it to the best of your ability and you stay within the law, it can just skyrocket.
Now, in your opinion and your experience as an officer here in Virginia, do you feel that the way you're perceived by the public is positive, or would you say it's more negative, or a balance between the two?
Well, I see in the community, I mean, as far as the community here, I have a lot of pro police people. I mean, you see people come up to you, they thank you for what you do. And it's probably, I'd say it's about a, I'd say probably 60-40, maybe a little bit higher, that you have the positive of the community.
Okay.
You do have some negative, and usually that's the people that you have to deal with quite frequently that hey, you intend to try to, you know, downplay the police and they hate the police and things of that nature, but it's pretty positive overall.
Every job has its pros and cons. Let's talk about that for a second. What is your favorite part about being in law enforcement?
Is handling situations. I love going, I'm a front runner. I love to get in there. I love DUI. I love the traffic aspect of keeping the community safe as far as with DUIs, people driving under the influence, whether it's drugs or alcohol. I like being called to the house that the husband and wife are having issues and they're fighting and they're loud, and we can go there. And more times than none, you can squash it. You can go in and talk to this one, talk to that one. And usually when we leave, it's usually settled. I just like that. I like going in and handling things for people and helping people. It's just being that community servant. Yes.
Well, that makes sense. You know, every job has its downsides too. I'm sure law enforcement is no different than any other job. What would you say one of the biggest drawbacks of your job would be?
Taking people to jail. I don't like doing that unless it's deserving. There are times that warrants have to be served and things of that nature, of mistakes that people's made in the past and they get caught and just happen to be in our community, in our area, and I don't have any idea what it was about or the reason behind it. And sometimes I do see things that maybe they should have been handled a little bit differently instead of people going to get warrants. But ultimately, in the end, we have to be the one to take them to jail, and now we're the bad guys for having to do our job. And it's not something that we take politely, to take somebody to jail. We just want to take everybody to jail. I hate it. I hate putting handcuffs on somebody, especially the ones that I feel maybe deep down inside probably doesn't deserve it, but the law stipulates you have to do things certain ways, and we have to uphold that.
Now, I recently was enlightened to something that I didn't know was possible. Give you a little bit of background here. Officers always say that, look, I don't make the laws, I just enforce them. If you have a problem with the law, take it up with Congress or General Assembly, whoever makes the laws. And that left a sour taste in my mouth hearing that, because I was like, well, if you don't agree with all the laws that you enforce, why are you enforcing them? And then it was you who told me, we're given a certain amount of leeway as to what certain laws we can enforce and which ones we have discretion on. Let's talk a little bit about that. You pull me over because I'm not wearing a seatbelt or I have a busted headlight. You have an option whether to write me up or not, right?
Okay, well, pulling you over for a seatbelt is a secondary offense. We can't do that. There has to be another avenue to be able to pull you over. It's got to be something different for that. You normally don't have officers going around pulling people for seatbelts. That's the end result. If they see that and you do break another have another infraction, they can pull you over and cite you for both. But that's not something that normally takes place.
All right. Well, give me an example where you would have an area of gray that you could use discretion, whether or not you have to charge that person or you...
Well, prime example, the law says domestic. If we show up, you and your wife are not in an altercation, and she's got marks all over, or you have marks all over you, the law stipulates that we shall make an arrest for the predominant aggressor. Whoever the predominant aggressor is, if you've got marks all over your face and she's crying and she's like, he attacked me, but you're the one that obviously has taken all the punishment, then she would be arrested. We have no say so in that. We have to by law have to make an arrest. The law tells us we have to. Okay, and the flip side, that's one time we have to. You're going down the road and it's a 55 and you're doing 66, 67 miles an hour. We pull you over. That is, yes, we have the authority. We are to pull you over. You're breaking the law, but we do not have to write you. We don't have to charge you. The law doesn't say you shall charge them for speeding. That's something that's totally, we have that option on writing you for that speed, or we can lower it to try to help you out as far as money, monetary wise, when you go to court. But that's an option that we don't have to charge you with that.
Now, someone once told me, and I think I've actually heard this from several different places, an officer writes you a ticket for speeding, let's say 10 miles over the limit, and agrees to drop it down to like 5. The advice given, and you know, I can't remember this guy's name, he's a former prosecutor, and he'd say, well, if they're willing to drop the speed limit or the speed that you were clocked at doing to a lower number, then one of two things has apparently ringing true. One being, well, they really don't know how fast you were going. Or two, or secondly, they didn't clock you with radar. They're just kind of like paced. Is this something that you would say rings true, or is it a third option that, no, we really want to help you out?
No, that's just false. For one, the radars that we have in the area, you watch every number go up. And so I wouldn't pull you for 65 and then write you for 55 if I didn't see the speed on my radar. They go up. They're not just, it just, boom, there's the speed. It goes up. You'll see it, and it has a Doppler tone that lets you know if it's increasing or decreasing the speed distance, and it goes up, and you'll be able to watch if it's 62, 63, 64, and it continues to go up. So if you see the highest they did was 68 miles an hour, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to write you at 64. I've seen 64. I physically seen that, so I know you were doing 64. Too, because I watched it climb, you can do that. As far as pacing, I don't write. I'll pull for pacing. If I get behind you and you're doing 47 in a 30 miles an hour, I'll pace you. And I still, it's got to be like 3 to 5. It's got to be some time there. You just can't speed up, because you got to be able to maintain that you're at the same speed, the same time. That's why I don't like it. And normally in the area, I can say that most officers don't write for pacing. It's just because it's, yeah, you can, because you can pace a vehicle, but it's got to be a time frame. You can't get behind them for a second or two and then say, I got you at this. That doesn't work. But the radar, prosecution saying that, that's just false. If they, normally the way it should be handled is, you pull them for this, you write them for this, and let the judge lower it. Because 90% of the time, you go into court and you let the judge know, hey, I'm sorry, I realized I was doing this. I mean, 90% of the time, the judge will reduce it down 5 or 6 miles an hour. I mean, he knocks way down. He can do that. Leave it to the judge to do. I kind of refrain from doing it myself. I don't like doing it. And I can't remember the last time I have. I know I have, but I can't remember the last time. I just let our judges make that decision. They're the final authority on it.
All right, so we're getting into an area here that's one of the topics, and I'm going to go ahead and bridge this now because it goes along with what you just said about that being a false statement, and this was coming from a former prosecutor. So that leads me to my first question of this segment about bridging the gap between community and law enforcement in a professional capacity. Are certain entities that are intentionally spreading misinformation to further that gap, or do you think that a lot of what we're hearing is actually real legitimate information? And for example, let me talk real quickly about, I just told you about the guy, the former prosecutor that just gave us that scenario. Then you see other ones who say that, you know, cops pull you over and their first job is to find a reason to build a case against you. I mean, these are kinds of things that we, the citizens here, and that puts our defenses up. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think there's a problem with misinformation?
Honestly, I've been around. I've worked for, like I said, several years, and I've worked for some different departments. And I can't sit here and honestly say that there's anyone that does that. I can't think of right off of any officer that I've worked with, especially ones closely, that would ever pull somebody over and say, okay, now we got to build a case on this guy. That's just, there's so many other things to do that officers in this area have to do. They don't have time to nitpick on things. Your attitude, people when they're pulled over, has a lot to do with where that traffic stop goes to. Whether if you get pulled over and you're abrasive right off the jump and you're being, you know, I'm a sovereign citizen kind of type, here's my license, don't ask me no question thing, then of course, you know, an officer is, we're human. We're here to do a job. And then when you act that way toward, you can almost guarantee, you'll be signing a few summonses if, and depending on the officer on, and how you treated him. But it's, I don't think that no one intentionally is putting bad stuff out there, per se to widen that gap between the police and us. I don't think they're intentionally trying to do it. I think the public can do that. I think people that perceive things to be one way, absolutely, they perceive it to be one way. They think it's the truth. They can do that. They can say, well, you know, he clocked me doing 47 in a 45, and he wrote me a, and then they can try to put that to their friends on Facebook, and it can go wide open all over the place when it was just not the truth. That was not the truth, and they try to spread that to make that. But as far as our officials, county officials, public officials, whatever it may be, I don't think they intentionally do anything to hurt that communication.
I will submit that a lot of this information that I have personally seen does not come from official sources that are in some kind of capacity. I think the majority of what we find when I hear things like this comes from anti-police organizations or people who have felt that they've been wronged by law enforcement. You know, some of the things that I hear make sense, and that's the scary part. One of the things that makes sense to me is the idea that I smell the odor of marijuana can be an open door to getting you out of your car and searching your vehicle. And this is where we get into a big concern for a lot of people, and that's, you know, the Fourth Amendment, having that right to your privacy. So I want to talk a little bit about that. It's really special to me because, you know, I lost my Fourth Amendment temporarily, and you don't realize how important that right is until you don't have it. So people who feel like an officer uses the excuse, I smell marijuana or I smell alcohol in your breath, step out of the car, now they can ask you, can we search your car? Now here's my question. When we get to that point, the officer's got you out of the vehicle, he's asking for consent to search, and you say no. Now, somehow, an officer can, and in some cases, does gain access to search your vehicle, whether it's running the dog or probable cause. Before I ask this question, real quick, just for the listeners, can you tell them the difference between probable cause and reasonable suspicion?
Well, reasonable suspicion is something that's reasonable. It's the average person. It's something that you see that the average person out there would come to the same conclusion as your own. You hear you're on a subdivision. You hear a car taking off. I mean, wheels just burning out, but you don't see it. You hear it. And so you walk out to the edge of the sidewalk and you see a vehicle go flying by at a high rate of speed. That's a reasonable suspicion to stop in because you just heard what, and that's the normal, a reasonable person would have come up with the same conclusion. Hey, we heard the squealing of the wheels, we heard the acceleration, and now here goes a car by. That's reasonable. That's a reasonable suspicion. Probable cause is you've seen it, you have probable cause to check it out. If I watched him burn off and go up through there, and then I lose, he goes around the corner and I take off after my cat, I have probable cause to catch him. I've seen him do that. I've seen him just commit the offense that has taken place of reckless driving.
Okay, so back to my scenario here. You've got me out of the car. I've denied consent to search my car. What is the legal means for you to be able to search the car anyway? I mean, let's say I have baggage of scale sitting on the front seat. I mean, that would obviously give you the right to search it. What other things would give you the ability to legally step over that line and initiate the search without consent?
It's not really stepping over the line if you have if you have probable cause.
Bad choice of words, my bad.
Yeah, if we walk up and we look in the vehicle and we see a bunch of baggies, like little, and that's not reasonable for somebody to carry, you know, loose baggies and stuff in their vehicle unless it's drug related. There's things that you can do. Of course, if we see a pipe or we see scales and stuff that's out, you know, those kind of things give us that. We now have probable cause because we actually visually see it. We have probable cause to search your vehicle. If you look through the vehicle can I search your vehicle? No, you're not searching. And I look all around from the outside, which we can legally do, look through your windshield because that's glass. You can look in. And I look everywhere and I can't find nothing. If you don't give consent, we can't do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you do, then we're violating your right. We can't just go in. But as far as the odor of marijuana, that's something that when we come through the academy, we are trained. We are instilled with that smell, and that's a smell that you can't, you cannot hide. I mean, if you smoke it at your house and you go outside and get in your car, you're going to have that smell in your clothes that's going to permeate from the car, regardless if you know it or not. You might not smell it because you've been in it, but we can smell it. And we ask you, hey, I can smell marijuana in the vehicle. And no, I'm not smoking marijuana. Well, sir, I can smell it. That's probable cause, because now we can smell it. We can inhale it. We know that it's there. The substance is there. But we normally, even with that, we try to go a little bit further. I'll say I try to go a little bit further. I'm not speaking for any departments or anybody. I'd go a little bit further and say, look, man, if you got a little bit, let me have it. I know you've been smoking. I still try to gain consent. They usually give it to me, or they'll let me have it, or they'll let me go ahead and search. I've had a couple that was just, no, you're not searching, and okay, well, buddy, hang back here in the back until I look through it, and I normally find it.
We were talking earlier today, and you shared a story with me. I know you can't give names out or anything like that, but you were talking about you pulled a guy over who appeared to be under the influence, and he had an opportunity to have a good ending to that, but he kind of chose to let it go the wrong way. Do you mind sharing that? Is that okay?
Yeah, well, we can. Okay. He did. I gave him the opportunity. He appeared to be, he dodged a lot of bullets. I could have taken him for what I feel was driving under the influence of possibly drugs, take him to get a blood draw, search warrant, get the blood draw. But I didn't choose not to. I mean, you look, each person is, the guy was not, he was not arrogant. He was, but he wasn't real cooperative. He wouldn't answer any questions. So I gave him the opportunity to get somebody to come and drive his vehicle. And I knew he had something in there, and I knew it wasn't marijuana. I couldn't smell that. So I knew it was something a little bit worse than marijuana. And that's part of our job as law enforcement officers is drug intervention. That's things we try to get that stuff off the streets. It's nothing good about it. It comes out of it. And so ultimately, we had a dog come. But while we were waiting for him to get somebody to come and pick him up and take the car, we had a dog run around the car, and the dog hit one time. And the officer always pulls him away, takes him back again several times just to make sure it's a good reading. And the dog sat both times near the car door where the narcotics and things were found.
I issued that because, you know, after talking with you, I see a pattern here. And I guess one could safely assume that the citizen's attitude and approach with the officer can go a long way.
Extremely, yes. It can go extremely long ways, not just a little bit. Your actions, like I alluded to earlier, your actions really normally, not about 80 to 90% of the time, dictate which way the traffic stop is going to go. Attitude is everything.
Let's talk about that. You're pulling somebody over, and now we're told that that is the most dangerous part of your job is a traffic stop. You're pulling somebody over. Everybody wants to go home at the end of the day.
Sure.
Officer wants to go home. The driver wants to go home. All the passengers want to go home. What can the driver and passengers do to make this interaction as positive and as painless as possible for both the officer and the people in the car?
When an officer pulls you over, he's not pulling you over just to pull you over. He's pulling you over because a violation has been committed, period. It's been committed in his presence. So when he pulls you over, there's beside the road is not the place to argue, yes, I wasn't, or no, I wasn't, that's not the place to argue. Be polite to the officer. Let him know, hey, what happened? He's going to give you his information. He'll give you his name. He's going to tell you why he stopped you. And then you do have a time to talk, and it does play into the role. You know, if he asks you questions, answer the questions truthfully and just let him know, hey, yeah, I was speeding. I was trying to get home to put my kid to bed. I just had a long day. People make mistakes. We understand that. And so when that happens, just be polite to the officer. If you're argumentative right off the jump, you don't want to answer questions, just give the license, you are probably going to get a summons. That's just the way it is. They know they're human just like you are. We have wives. We have husbands and wives. We have that too. All officers have that. They're human too. Everyone makes mistakes. So just accept it. If you feel, hey, I was not doing that speed, I just looked down and I know I wasn't doing that speed, come to court and tell the judge. The judges that we have in the area are absolutely amazing. They're right down the line, especially the ones we have now. And they're really good. We've got a good set of judges, the prosecutors, everything I can say in our area we're blessed to have, because it's fair. It's nowhere is it ever, especially when it comes to traffic. They also, a lot of times, tend to aid on the side of the offender, the one that's done it, because judges, even judges know it's hard on people. These fines and things of that nature are hard on people. So they do, unless you come in and just flat plead guilty, you know, 90% of the time, like I said, they're reduced. But the side of the road is not the place to argue the ticket. Just admit that you're wrong. Actually, if you admit here, hey, you know what, you got me, I'm sorry, chances are you're probably going to get a warning and be sent on your way.
See, now that's something that we're also told. Never talk to the police, never answer questions, and never admit to guilt.
Again, it's what you want. I mean, you don't have to, I don't need you to say you did anything. When I go to court, I'm not going to say, Your Honor, he was doing 65 and or 70 and a 65 or 55. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, I was doing it. That doesn't come out. We're going to say, Your Honor, this is what happened. I was running stationary radar. He come into my radar at this speed in a posted 30 or whatever the speed limit is. He come through. That's what we contest to. We don't contest to. Now, we will tell him that if you ask Mr. Will where he was going, why was he going that fast, and he told me, hey, I just wasn't paying attention. He'd been driving all night. That's what we tell him. So that's why I'm saying be truthful up front, and then we tell them that. You don't have to admit to guilt. We don't need you to admit to anything. Or what we've seen and what we observed, that's all we need. We don't need you to admit to anything. We don't want you to. You can keep silent if you want. That's totally your option.
We're going to take a quick break.
And it looks like all the time we have for in this episode. So, and we hope you took away some good information here. We've learned a little bit about what officers can enforce and what they must enforce. We learned about how they initiate traffic stops based on our speeds and different methods that they use for that. Learned a little bit about seatbelt laws as well. So a lot of good information here, and we're going to pick it up again next Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on SAC Radio Live. So make sure you tune in for that. This Saturday, coming up at 8 p.m., Nice Guy Eddie's show kicks back off. He was supposed to debut this past week, but unfortunately, technical difficulties reared their ugly heads, and he was unable to do so. So let's look forward to his show again, Saturday, 8 p.m., right here on SAC Radio Live. One last thing before I let you go, I want to let you know that we are going to be offering some new giveaways coming up here on Nice Guy Eddie's show, so make sure you tune in for that. As you heard in our debut episode, we are going to be launching the SAC My Spot service. So we're going to give a couple of those sections away, or should I call them spots? We're going to give a couple of those spots away on air, so make sure you tune in and call in so you can get your hands on yours before they go on sale. All right. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thank you very much for tuning in. This has been another production of Spot a Cop, and we'll see you next Sunday at 11 p.m. With Fat Cat Computers shutting down here in Harrisonburg, where are you going to go to get your computer fixed? Well, I have just the answer for you. Comstar Computers and Fat Cat Computers have been teaming up for quite some time now. Well, we're still at it, and we're still here to help you out. Give us a call at 540-388-3085 or visit us on the web at www.comstarcomputers.com. At Comstar, we're not number one, you are.
We are the Borg. Resistance is futile. When traversing the universe, we are checking to make sure that the Federation is not out there trying to stop us. Spot a Cop on Facebook.